Well, here we are again. It is Wednesday. Great to have your company this afternoon, wherever you are, whatever the weather, whatever the time. For you, it is time to take 25. Pour yourself your favourite tipple, sit back, relax, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Really heard before, The Gambler, but yeah. Anyway, moving on, talking about hair. Now, for many of you that know me and have known me for a while will have probably never seen me with long hair. But, you know, as we go through this lockdown, isn't it fun what we can do with our hair? And I thought, oh, look, I need to start clipping it up and pushing it back because obviously we're still not going to see, for those of us in Auckland, we're still not going to see a hairdresser for a while. Once I got rid of all my long hair, I also got rid of all my pretty little clips tapes and bands and whatever other things that you put in your hair. So I've had to go and buy some. So I went online and I've ordered some funky little things just to have some fun with my hair.
Well, aren't you a surprise? I would have thought that you and your partner would have got the scissors out and be hacking away at it yourself. It's funny that you should mention that because I was going, oh, my goodness, I used to carry all these clips and ties and things around with me everywhere I went so that whenever I was with the grandees, I could do something with their hair because they always lost them. But, you know, since they all grew up and look after themselves and wouldn't dare let Nanny put a clip in their hair now, I haven't got any. And I've got hair that comes down to my chin in the front and, you know, I'm wearing a hat all the time to hold it back so that I can see, and it looks absolutely gross. And I nearly freaked out the other day, about 2 weeks ago. I got a call from my hairdresser, and he's busy getting himself organised with all the appointments he had to cancel. I am not booked in until the 18th of November. Would you believe that? 18th of November. My gosh. And we've had 2 weeks more of lockdown, so that's probably been put back. I'll be lucky if I'm cut before Christmas.
And so isn't it fun? So I think it is time, you know, that we kind of got back to those clips and bands and things and gave ourselves a new little hairstyle. Unless, you know, I'm sure some of you out there are probably quite comfortable to cut your own hair and trim it and do whatever, but I dare not. Well, depending on how long we might stay here, maybe I might try and trim a bit. But I do remember years and years ago, and I had really long hair and I kind of had a fringy thing, and it was getting in my eye, so I cut it. And I cut it crooked. So then you have to cut it some more to straighten it. Oh, my gosh, by the time I had finished cutting my fringe, it was like almost up the top of my head and there was not a fringe anymore.
Yes, well, I have loads of stories about that because when you're sailing in a sailboat out in the middle of the ocean, you don't have a hairdresser anywhere. And I went from being a very long-haired girl to a very short-haired girl very, very quickly. And there is loads to be said for the very spiky, rough hairdo type style. It really looks great when you're in the middle of the ocean, you've got nothing else. Your hair is thick with salt anyway, and you've hacked away with the scissors, so it's all spiky and uneven and an absolute and utter mess. And it worked. It looked like it was a proper, you know, $200 hair job done in the hair salon. It was really cool. So I became less worried about my hair after that. It's loads of fun doing your own hairstyles when you're young enough to pull it off, mind you.
Isn't it interesting, though, and I don't know, did you do the same thing when I decided to get my hair chopped because I had very long hair and I decided one day, nope, weren't gone, and I went to the hairdresser and had it in a ponytail. I said, chop it off. And I remember that hairdresser at the time, she was extremely hesitant. I mean, this was years and years and years and years ago, and she had this whole conversation with me that, was I sure? I said, chop it off. And so finally she did.
I did. Even have to give any instructions to my hairdresser. I remember this man vividly. Now, this is over 30 years ago, even more years ago, 40 years ago it would be, and his name was Lance, and he was the most amazing hairdresser, and I used to just go into him and say, do whatever you like, okay? So in those days, I had what we called a Theraporset Majors hairstyle. It was this long, wavy locks, you know, and I'd always had long hair. I'd never had short hair. And he said, really? Because I've been thinking lots about you and you're the only one of my clients I know that I can probably get away with this. And I said, yeah, go for it. I came out. I am not joking. I walked out of that hair salon with a Michael Jackson afro.
Wow.
I have a photo to prove it. I can put it on. I can. The New Zealand Herald took a photograph of me as I won Coach of the Year 1 year, and they took a photograph. It's the only photograph I've got with me with this Michael Jackson Yeah, I'll put it up on Facebook.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, and our listeners out there, also, what haircuts have you got that that maybe have surprised you a little bit or surprised others? Pop it up on our Facebook page and share, and also share all your tips of what you're doing with your hair at the moment as well. When I think back, when I just had long straight hair, it was quite easy. You know, you throw it up in a ponytail, but it's a bit awkward when you're through this kind of that. I don't know, chicken egg stage, isn't it? It's not long enough to do anything with, but it's too, yeah. Anyway, so there you go, having a bit of a interesting time with my hair, but just so much fun shopping again for those little things, you know, those little clips and things. They're amazing what you can get these days. I suppose there's a wider variety of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No, but I tell you what I did do last night, and I know I talk about this every year on the radio. I grabbed out my recipe book for my Christmas cake because that needs to be done in October. So this week when I go to the dairy, I will look, because I think the dairy will have most of the things I need. I will start to gather my Christmas cake to put together in a week or so's time. Yeah, so that is something I do have to do.
You're very, very good in that department. Me, I'm over Christmas cakes. I stopped making them a few years ago and I have missed it, believe me. I used to make this absolutely awesome white Christmas cake, which was so full of rum and bits and pieces, it wasn't funny. But, yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely. No, I've just, I've got so many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, I've been looking at trying to start buying them presents, which I normally do about now so that I eke out the cost of it over a matter of 3 months. Wow. Yes, expense, expense, expense. I literally cannot afford my great-grandchildren anymore.
Why don't you make them something? This is, I think, one of the great things about this whole kind of pandemic lockdown that I like is as we kind of go back. I mean, you know, we've got so commercialised and why don't you make them something?
Well, that's a really good idea, except I'm not a very arty person. What on earth would I make them?
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, I mean, what can you do? I don't know.
Well, I used to be able to crochet and knit really, really well, but I don't think my aspirated cans are going to let me do that for very long. It's a really good thought, actually. I will sit here and think about it. Maybe I can come up with... You're dead right, actually. You're dead right. I totally encourage people to get back and not pay the exorbitant prices that everybody is charging, simply because they've got a captured market and there's not a lot of stock, so they can. You know, I actually think that's really, really wrong.
Interestingly too, because throughout lockdown, and I've seen these little stories on the news in regards to people taking up knitting and sewing and crocheting again. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there you go. Why not? But as you say, and actually, Irene, you said something there about arthritis. My mum too, she used to love knitting, but you're right, arthritis has stopped her actually doing that. Yeah.
I've even had to stop wearing my wristwatch. My wrist, that particular hand, just doesn't like it, and my watches all go on my left hand. They don't go on my right hand, so I'm not wearing my watches anymore. It's really, I mean, I can put them on my right hand, but they're sort of back to front, you know.
That's quite weird, isn't it? I wonder if anybody out there, I mean, you're right, we all seem to wear it on our left hand, don't we? Yeah, it'd be quite weird on my right hand. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if that's just a norm. Maybe it's this down this end of the world and maybe the Northern Hemisphere wear it on their right.
I like the toilet, yeah. And, you know, it's amazing how your brain is so fixated on that watch being on your left hand. I stopped wearing a watch 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I still keep looking for my time and going, oh, my goodness, oh, God, now I've got to pull my phone out. It's the only thing that I've got a time on, and it's just so frustrating. And, you know, your watch is, you don't realise how much you use it.
I wonder if the young kids actually have watches these days, because you're right, it's on their phone. So I wonder if they actually wear watches anymore.
No, they don't, because that was one of the things when my girls got to sort of 12 years of age, I used to always buy them a nice watch. That was one of the things Nana loved to do, right? You're old enough to have a nice watch now. Well, and of course when they were younger, they got the Mickey Mouse watches and all that sort of thing. Well, not interested, you know. They stopped wearing them, didn't want them. So by the time I got to, I think it was the third or fourth grandchild, not forget that idea, down the tubes, don't want them.
And wasn't it interesting too when it changed from hands to digital, and then half of the kids couldn't read from, you know, the hands anymore because they'd only ever had digital watches as well. Isn't it interesting how things shift on?
Yes, and teaching mathematics. I mean, the clock face was used in so much teaching applications. So that all had to change as well.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Well, there you go. So we've gone from kind of using the old hands to back down to digital to nothing, to using your phone now, you know, and it tells you, and probably if you can't even read the letters, it would probably speak it out to you as well, if you wanted it to.
Hey, I tell you what I'm in the throes of doing is researching hemp and hemp products. Had the most amazing walk the other day. We did the what's called the Pink Walk, which is off Karangahape Road, and walked down Karangahape Road for the first time in years and years and years, and came across a hemp shop. Now, there were a whole pile of things being advertised in the window of that hemp shop, which I don't think I can really tell you about over the, you know, it, I mean, I don't even understand what the product was for. I kept reading these things and saying to my mates who were a lot younger than me, but what's that for? What do you do, you know? And they didn't know. I mean, they didn't know. We were fascinated. So they took photographs. I didn't. They took photographs of some of the things so that they could Google it and try and find out what the stuff was for. But it brought me back to the good old days when I used to sit in my boot boat making baggy winkle. You know what baggy winkle is?
No.
Baggy winkle is this, it's sisal rope, which is hemp rope, which you pull all apart and make fluffy, and you make it into this thing that you put it up on the shrouds of your boat so that when the sail's hitting the shrouds, it doesn't get chafe on it. Chafing. So it was really funny. Now, I did come across a photograph of me making the baggy winkle many, many years ago on my boat, but I can't post that on Facebook either because when I used to be out in the middle of the ocean, I didn't want to do any clothes washing or anything. So it's definitely not a photo I can put up. Definitely not. Although I looked really good back then. I must have been looking at it.
We could blur out your face and nobody would even know it was you.
I don't trust you.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. You know, I must say I haven't been down Kay Road. And for those of you that are out of Auckland, Karangahape Road, which is fondly known as Kay Road, well, it used to be, I suppose, the red light district of Auckland. I don't know if it still is or not.
I think it still is. This was in the middle of the day and it still had a lot of character. I like to call it the character road of Auckland. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night you go, there's always something interesting going to happen while you're there. And even at this ripe old age, I'm trying to get a gang of younger ones together because I was amazed at how many of them never go anywhere near Kay Road. And I said, look, one of the best nights I've ever had, and we used to do this quite often, was go for an adventure down Kay Road at night. So we'd all meet at one of the little restaurants and whatever, have our dinner, and by the time we finished, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, and Kay Road is just slowly beginning to inch its toes out of bed, you know. And so you just go down one side of Kay Road, which takes about 3 hours, and then you come up the other side, which takes about another 3 hours, and you've had the most interesting night that you could possibly imagine. And if you're in a large group, hey, you're perfectly safe, and yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, it was something that we also used to go tramping down Kay Road and also Queen Street. And Queen Street was a bit sad compared to Kay Road. I mean, Kay Road used to have a lot of fun on. But the Hare Krishna always used to go down Queen Street. And, you know, you'd be halfway in the middle of the night and they'd come in all of their orange flowing jackets with their cymbals singing along down the street. You know, I always remember that. But yeah, I think they are, you know, probably like many of the older districts and many of the towns actually around New Zealand, they're giving a bit of a facelift. So I hope with that facelift it doesn't, you know, it doesn't lose the character that Kay Road has always been, yeah.
Well, I hope so too, and particularly in level three, everybody get out there and start having some fun. Everybody was wearing masks. Everybody was social distancing. The restaurants and cafes were all struggling to remain open with all the rules and regulations in place. We had the best ever Thai food. I had pad Thai, and I normally don't get pad Thai in New Zealand because they don't know how to do it properly, but these guys were genuine Thai people and they made awesome pad Thai. It was lovely. So support your local businesses and Kay Road people. Get out there.
And that's the hard thing in town, isn't it? Although there's quite a few apartments in town now as well, so you would think there would be people kicking about rather than people having to come in, because often, you know, you'll support your local wherever that is as well. Yeah.
I was actually very, very surprised, being a beautiful, beautiful, when was it, Friday? Friday night, Friday afternoon, it was so sunny, it was so warm, it was a beautiful day, and I was surprised how few people were out there.
You know, people are still working.
No, this was 6:30 in the afternoon. I thought, you know, people would be out and about on their bikes, whatever, 6:30 on a Friday afternoon. They can't go to the pub or anywhere else, so, you know, where'd they go?
After work hours, yeah, I suppose, why aren't people out and about? Who knows? Suppose we're all still just getting used to, you know, being able to go out in a little bubble and have a picnic and you know, enjoy a bit of fresh air, which is pretty cool as well. Mind you, with the weather, the way the weather goes, it's spring weather that we are having, and I'm sure all around the country we're having spring weather. And so you just never know what quite is going to happen. And again, if you are up here in the north, you usually have to bring clothes with you for every season. You've got jackets, you've got umbrellas, and you've got a T-shirt.
That doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon, does it?
you almost need a little trolley behind you, don't you, with a suitcase with all of the stuff that you might need during that day. Yeah. Maybe they could make a four-season-in-a-day jacket. So it's really, really light. So if it does get cold, the jacket suddenly gets really warm. And if it gets wet, it's waterproof. And if it gets really, really hot, it breathes again. And maybe it has little holes that open up so it can breathe, or that you can just, it's that light that you can chuck it around your waist.
Wouldn't that be called an automatic climate changing or temperature changing jacket? Now, that would work. That would really work. I remember a Frenchman, a very dear friend of mine, came over to New Zealand to visit quite a few years ago. And after taking him all around New Zealand for a couple of months, you know, he made this comment to me: "You Kiwi girls are just like snails. You remind me of snails." And I was quite offended. I went, "Hang on a minute, you know, I thought you'd be having a good time with us." And he said, no, it's got nothing to do with that. He said, everywhere we go, you know, we go into Christchurch, we go into Wellington, we go into Auckland, everywhere you go, everybody's got a backpack on. And then I understood, you know, it looks like we've got this hump on our backs. And it's because we have to carry a backpack every time we go anywhere, because you're taking on, taking off, taking on, taking off, and you've got to have somewhere to put it. So, and he did get that. He understood that. He said, "I could never live here. It would drive me nuts." Because you go to Spain and France, and what you get dressed in at 6 o'clock in the morning, you can wear for 24 hours. You never have to change, you know, even if it rains. So,
isn't it amazing what you get used to? Okay, so for our listeners out there, one of you must be clever enough to create our climate-changing jacket and jeans. That'd be great. Well, that's all we've got time for this afternoon. Keep your feet up for just a little bit longer. Have your favourite tipple, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Sugars, brought to you by Delaquo Communication. Delaquo.co.nz.